it doesn't take a huge amount of dollars to develop, I think, a really credible and strong blog or podcasting program. I think what it has to do with more is passion and commitment. This should not be a chore.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have Pascal Levinson, who's founder and managing director of Levinson Venture Partners. And Levinson Venture Partners is a venture firm that is very well known and very successful, and Pascal himself has been innovating with social media for years, and he's published groundbreaking articles on the venture industry and corporate governance topics since 1999. So one of the reasons that I wanted to have Pascal on Marketing Voices is given that he's with a venture firm and he's essentially in a service business where I am seeing more and more increased interest in people using social media from accounting firms, law firms, venture capital firms. I've had a couple of emails from people on that. I wanted to ask Pascal because he has been a blogger since January of 2005, and he now has a podcasting series called VC Inside Out that I'll be asking him questions about today. And it produces really original, his show produces original content twice per month. So he's very prolific, and his firm is very prolific, and so it's a really good subject in a sense for Marketing Voices because of the fact that he does so much. So Pascal, with that long introduction, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thanks, Jennifer. Good to be on the show.
Good. So my first question is, why did you decide to start using social media in your business?
Well, social media and blogging actually came to me as an afterthought for the business. I actually started using blogging because of my personal interest in religious pluralism and interfaith dialogue. I'd had some interesting experiences in the Middle East in 2004 and was sending emails to larger and larger groups of people, and then I said, well, maybe I should be blogging about this and having it be more interactive as well. And so I really launched the blog on religious issues of cultural tolerance, and then actually started blogging about business things some months after that.
So what kind of benefit have you seen from your blog then, given that objective in a sense?
Well, the biggest benefit is that I've built a community of interest and have initiated conversations with people that have stemmed from my blog posts, and also that I've met people in circles that have read my material, and suddenly we have a whole new thing to talk about that I didn't even know we had in common. So it's really opened new links to people that I had no idea could exist.
So given that it's kind of a unique topic to really focus on as a founder and a managing director at a venture firm, you know, you've got sort of this religious tone to your blog and topics. I mean, talk to me a little bit about that. How did that come about?
Well, my background, personal background is, you know, I come from a multi-faith family. My mother was a Christian Catholic. My father was a Jewish Holocaust survivor. And what's been really interesting is that a lot of people don't normally find out about your background, your personal history from business interactions. And so I found that it's actually made the discussions that I have with people in business much more interesting. I found that I share either ethnic things with people that I had no idea I might have a link to, and it's really changed the nature of the interactions that I have with people in business and makes them actually a lot more rich and colorful.
So do you find that you've gotten any new deals out of, in a sense, your blog?
I've definitely been approached by entrepreneurs who make a point, even before meeting me, of telling me that they really enjoy what I've written about, and I've had lots of words of encouragement. And so there, it creates an affinity, and it makes for a more interesting conversation. And I think that to the extent that that makes someone feel more comfortable, makes them feel that I'm more approachable, or that we have something else to talk about besides, you know, what's the pre-money, that's a good thing.
So now you've just started this podcasting series called VC Inside Out. Can you talk about why you decided to start podcasting?
Absolutely. Podcasting is really the next extension of this whole Web 2.0 concept of interactivity. And you want to give people a sense of the real body language that's behind the things that we're writing about. And there's nothing better than that, than hearing our voices, actually hearing our voices, and getting a sense of what's really that conversation going on, what is it really about. And so podcasting, because I'm an amateur musician, and I've always been interested in sound, and I had personally have Pro Tools software, it was really easy for me to basically say, hey, why shouldn't I start doing some of these podcast shows directly? And so we decided to create a program around it, and everyone else in the firm got pretty excited about it. And actually, the first few shows feature a number of the partners in the firm, and all five of us are going to be doing podcasts on different subjects. But this is definitely more narrowly defined. I mean, we're focusing on business issues that have to do with corporate governance and with entrepreneurs, because they're very relevant to our business.
So give me a little sense about how you kind of orchestrate the podcasting in the real tactical sense. I know there are a lot of people that say, oh my gosh, how do you have time to do it? So sort of walk us through kind of the time commitment you have and how you actually do the podcast.
Podcasts actually technically are pretty easy to do. So just as with this one, it takes, say, 20 minutes to put the show together. Then you do some editing. I mean, I can go from cold start to having an episode completely produced in 90 minutes. We've established a dedicated website, which is vc-io.com. So we have a web designer who maintains our normal Levinson Venture Partners website, and we just can upload an MP3 file, very easy to do, so it just takes a little bit of skill with Pro Tools, but other than that, it's really pretty simple to do.
So when you first started doing all this, did you have any real expectations on what you expected to get out of it?
I really didn't. What I liked about it was that it was an interesting way to reach out to people and then see what happens. I mean, the reality is that blogging and podcasting, it's still early days. There's a lot of noise in the blogosphere. And the biggest challenge, I think, technically, in terms of the internet's overall ability to distill through this information, and this is one of the larger unstructured data mining projects out there. And so you've got things like Sphere, our company KnowNow, in the RSS space. You've got Technorati out there. You've got a bunch of things that are tools trying to address, how do I harness and get through all of this mountain of data? And now the data is compounded because it goes into voice, right? And it's even more difficult to mine. How are you going to analyze what is on those podcasts other than the taglines that people get? So it's early days. The whole issue of credibility, I wanted to start writing things on my blog that were credible and that debunked some thoughts that maybe other people are saying about intolerance and about religious pluralism, and also to disseminate information that is not so easily available based on my own direct experience, for example, traveling in Israel and being involved in certain social projects over there. So I've been very pleased with the fact that there's a significant community of interest that's developed around the things that I'm doing. And I think that's great, but in terms of bigger expectations, I think it's really early days.
So what about challenges that you've faced? I mean, you sound very positive. It doesn't sound like there's anything negative, but there's got to be something. There's always a little bit of a twinge of challenge. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I'd say there's two things. One, I've been disappointed that there are fewer, there's less interactivity than I would like. I was expecting to get more comments, and recently I've had some really thoughtful comments as opposed to the, you know, vulgar, you know, I hate you, et cetera, type of stuff, which I don't get very often either, but every once in a while you'll get a wacko who will just post something that's crazy on your blog and you have to clean it out. But I'd like to see more interactivity, and I think that there are technical hurdles to that. And so obviously there's companies working on different products. One of our companies, Informative, has a product called BlogScope, which is designed to help with more interactivity so you can get real-time answers from people about on your blog. But again, these things are not fully deployed, and so I'd like to see, I view that as a challenge still. And then the other is, how do you navigate through the mountain of misinformation that is in so many blogs, and how can you sort of call the noise out, the interference in all of these huge channels of information?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely key. And that sort of leads into my next question is, in terms of metrics, I am, you know, at looking at these, I don't know if, you know, you as a venture firm really has a specific metric the way, say, a marketing person at a big company would on the amount of money spent, time, and all of that as it leads into, okay, I'm going to do this stuff. Do you have any way of saying, okay, look, you know, we're going to put this kind of metric on it, and if we exceed that, then we'll feel great, or if we don't, then we won't?
I think that we don't even really look at it that way in terms of our own efforts, because it doesn't take a huge amount of dollars to develop, I think, a really credible and strong blog or podcasting program. I think what it has to do with more is passion and commitment. This should not be a chore. So if you're contemplating using social media as a business tool, don't make it a chore, because I think that's when you'll be scratching your head and saying, well, I'm not getting what I thought I wanted to get out of it. I mean, personally, it's therapy for me to be writing my blog. I mean, my wife says to me, you know, you get so much out of it just because it's an outlet for you to get these ideas out, and that's exactly what it is. And so, again, I'm not recommending it as therapy for everybody. I'm just saying that it's a really fun thing to do, and you should think of it that way and make it useful and relevant to what you're doing in your business or your personal life, and that of itself will make it worthwhile.
Well, that's great. This has been very, very helpful, and I'm sure that I'll get a lot of feedback from people saying that, or especially in the venture business or in the a group of attorneys or something like that, this is a good podcast, because a lot of people assume that it's only for companies and not necessarily for service businesses. So thank you very much for the time with me on Marketing Voices.
Thanks very much, Jennifer.
Let me make sure I've got all the listeners tied into your website. It's www.levp.com.
Correct.
And what is the direct link to the VCIO?
So it's VC Inside Out is the name of the program, and the website is www.vc-io.com.
Great. Well, my thanks again. And so to all my listeners, I've been talking with Pascal Levinson, who's founder and managing director of Levinson Venture Partners, which is a venture firm in San Francisco, California. And to everyone else, thank you so much for listening to Marketing Voices. And until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.